This is Cruise Control.
Control.
Your on-air automotive magazine with co-hosts Fred Staub and Les Jackson.
Control.
Everything you need to know about new and used cars.
Control.
Industry news. We'll fix or repair your car on the air.
On the air.
Control.
Fasten your seatbelts and let us take the wheel.
Now, your ride is about to begin.
Cruise Control.
Because you're on
Cruise Control.
Cruise Control.
Cruise Control.
That's right. You're on Cruise Control, and oddly enough, so are we. Les Jackson here at the wheel of the Cruise Control van. Fred Staub over there in the passenger seat. This is your on-air automotive magazine, and as usual, Fred and I have a whole pile of information to tell you about. And again, it's all about the automotive industry.
Yeah, it sure is, Les. And, well, maybe it's about the computer industry, too. Starting off this week, Apple and McLaren, are they the perfect match? We'll tell you all about that. Is it a real deal? Or is it just talks? Or is it not even that? We've got, the info on that deal.
Exactly. And Audi delights by saving the manual.
Yeah, they're going to make their manual available in one of their new models. And that's not happening a whole heck of a lot.
Not a lot. No.
Yeah. And we talk tech. Can an aftermarket device make your car drive itself? Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, one company says yes. We're going to tell you how they are doing it. I know you tried it on the van with an elaborate system of ropes and pulleys.
Yes, and the blow up doll and the record player. It didn't work very well. Well, didn't work at all. Mm. But nonetheless, anyway, Mini spools up its new John Cooper Works offering.
Yeah, that's always exciting. They have been from the day they started building them. And Honda and VW take on land speed records in two very, very unique vehicles. That's kind of the fun of land speed records, Les.
Yeah.
Everyone, it's run what you brung, you know?
Well, we've got the land speed record in the only three-wheeled car that has actually four wheels.
Exactly. And a 3.5-cylinder engine right here.
That's right. Nobody else has ever done it.
That's right. All that and a whole lot more when we get rolling on this edition of Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine, with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. Yeah, this McLaren deal, well, we shouldn't even call it a deal. It's a flirtation, I think, is more like it. A pretty interesting story. One of the Apple executives owns a McLaren, and they say that's where the whole deal started. Of course, this is not unheard of for a startup car company, if we can call Apple that. Remember what Tesla did. They borrowed or licensed a Lotus for their first car and their drivetrain in it. So could Apple do the same? And it wouldn't be bad to have an Apple in a McLaren wrapper, would it? That would be pretty cool, I would say. Wouldn't you, Les?
Well, yeah, but a wee bit on the pricey side.
Indeed, indeed. Well, hey, when we come back, we are going to dig into all of this, so stay tuned to Cruise Control Radio, and don't forget we're on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We'll be right back. Listen to the live feed of Cruise Control Radio every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com to find out how to do it. Is your car starting to show its age? Over time, paint becomes oxidized, faded, and scratched. But you can restore that tired paint and repair those scratches with the paint restoration system from 3M. It's an affordable way to make those repairs in your garage in just one afternoon with basic tools. The kit contains all of the restoration products and polishing pads you need to bring your vehicle's paint back to like-new condition. For more information, visit www.3mcarcare.com. I got a blowing, going crazy, sitting under the
hood. It's a beefed-up son of a gun. Cruise Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. We are glad you are along for the ride. Don't forget, we are on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. A lot of people were over there checking that stuff out and liking us on Facebook this week. We appreciate that. Keep them coming. CruiseControlRadio.com, the clearinghouse for Facebook and Twitter. Les, of course, the project is called Project Titan, which is supposed to be the Apple self-driving car. There's a lot of talk about this, though. They apparently hired a bunch of people, laid them off. A lot of R&D going on. There's apparently a minivan with LiDAR spinning around on the top, driving around the Apple plant. But now there comes talk that they might buy McLaren and start using them to build their Project Titan Apple cars. What do you think of that?
Well, on the exterior, looking at this, you think, well, now wait a minute. Why would Apple buy a $1 million car to sell themselves? But that's not quite what they're really doing. What they're doing is buying the advanced technology that McLaren has, so they can not have to go through all that incredible amount of time and money to do the development themselves.
Why reinvent the wheel, basically?
Why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah.
It's not from the standpoint of buying the basic cars and rebadging them Apple and that sort of thing. I think they have plans eventually to make their own car. Now, that said, they've recently laid off several dozen of their car unit employees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether that's because they're running out of money,
I doubt that.
Selling, iPhone 25 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Or they're just changing their priorities a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe there was some redundancy, although no deal is in the offing right now. But you think about it, McLaren, they're wizards at lightweight carbon fiber, and they have many, many ways of making carbon fiber less expensively.
Yeah.
They could jump ahead, and McLaren builds some beautiful cars, as we know. McLaren, of course, is named after a New Zealand-born race car driver, Bruce McLaren.
Bruce McLaren.
Yeah, who was the 1963 Formula One championship. He first competed in Formula One, and won the championship 3 years later. But, I wonder if any of his family is still involved with that.
You know, I was wondering the same thing. I'll have to look that up.
Hmm. As I said in the open, apparently one of the Apple executives has a McLaren and liked it and probably turned around and said, hey, why don't we buy that? You know, it would be $617 billion. Apple's capitalization is. So it would be easy for them to buy McLaren, which is worth about $1
billion. Wow.
Yeah. Just buy it over the weekend. You know, no big deal.
I mean, do you realize that's the equivalent of, say, you and me spending $10 on something?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Will it happen? What do you predict?
I think there's going to be a working relationship. I don't see them buying McLaren. Apple's not interested. McLaren is interested in Formula One. They're interested in extreme performance cars, just like Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Apple wanting to be in that game.
Mm-hmm. Might not fit with their...
I don't think it fits. I think Apple would be really and truly out of its league.
But why couldn't McLaren design and build a car that they could put their self-driving system into?
Sure.
I'm sure. There's always... It might not be completely true, but there's always a hint of truth to these stories, you know?
That's true.
And somebody took a meeting, and somebody probably said, well, what if we, built the car for you? And as I say, it's not uncommon. It happened with Tesla, and why wouldn't they repeat that history? Tesla didn't have the ability to design cars and that at first, just the electric drivetrain, so they went with the Lotus Elise, right?
Exactly. And anyone that tries to design his or her own car from the ground up is crazy.
Mm.
There's just you're trying to overcome 120 years of massive amounts of engineering and knowledge. Now, I could see Apple striking a deal with McLaren to ultimately design their technology into another car, a cheaper car, and have McLaren build it.
Yep. Well, we will talk more about this when we come back on Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. Keep it tuned. For the latest updates on Cruise Control, follow us on Twitter at Cruise Control Rad. That's CRUISECTRLRAD. Cruise Control Rad.
Ever looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept for cooking.
Cruise Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control. Les and Fred here, and we were talking about Apple and McLaren, but back to vehicles that people can actually afford.
Mm-hmm.
Audi is, and this, in my opinion, is not a great idea, but Audi has announced
mm-hmm.
that for the 2017 A4, they're going to offer a manual transmission.
Yeah, all brand new A4, a lot of technology there. But they decided to do this. It's a no-cost option. So it's the same price for their automatic versus the manual. They'll get a lot of love in the press if that's what it's designed to do, but I don't think a lot of people will buy it. As we were talking about during the break. What do you think?
I think if they're lucky, they'll sell 1,000 of them. and you know, I mean, I've built probably 75 manual transmissions. I built the transmission that Car and Driver used for the Pan America race about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't like manual transmissions.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well,
yeah, they're just not efficient anymore. They're more of a nuisance than they are fun.
It's going to be a six-speed transmission. It will be offered exclusively in the Quattro all-wheel drive version of the A4 with a 252-horsepower engine, and it's a 2-liter turbo. Rather than the 190-horsepower Ultra variant, which uses the Miller cycle and is more fuel economy-oriented. There's also an available Sport Plus package that's exclusive to the manual mode that adds some previous S4 exclusive bits to the mix.
Hmm.
Hmm.
You know, from a business standpoint, I bet you that very, very few Audi dealers are going to order manual transmission cars into their inventory.
Mm-hmm.
They'll order them when somebody comes in and puts down the money to order one. But I think most dealers are going to say, I'm not going to put one of those in my inventory. I might not be able to unload it.
Exactly. Exactly. So we'll see if it's going to make a dent in the world, automotive world, but you know, I'm not sure. Hey, going from vehicles that were very expensive to some that are pretty expensive down to something, well, it's a tool. The post office has named 6 finalists to design their next delivery vehicle. And here they are. They're AM General, who's built post office vehicles.
Yeah. Former Hummer.
Yep. Carson Automotive, and some other words that we can't say. From Bursa, Turkey.
Well, they, and of course, they were making the van. Which brand of van were they making that is now made in Europe and the U.S.?
Are they talking about the Ford?
Yeah, the Ford Transit.
Yep. Or a Transit Connect, I think they're making.
Transit Connect, right.
Mahindra of North America. Oshkosh HD of Oshkosh.
Don't they make children's clothes?
Oshkosh Bagosh. No, no, they also make heavy trucks, too.
Oh, okay.
Utila Master Corporation of Bristol, Indiana, and VT Hackney of Washington, North Carolina. I think Hackney makes fire equipment, too.
Yeah.
So what do you think these things will look like? And will they be electric? I think they will.
I think they'll be hybrid myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll look very, very much like the existing postal vans. I mean, they look that the way they look because they're very efficient.
Yeah.
At what they do and what they carry.
Now, I know this is totally foreign to our government, but those vans are in great shape, a lot of them. They're aluminum. Couldn't you just repower them or put them on a new chassis?
Well, you know, I think that's actually been discussed. I believe some years ago in the Washington Post, there was a little article on page 35 that said they had looked into something like that. And it turned out it was more expensive to do that than to just sell them off and buy new.
Hmm.
And even if you do that, you have to, you know, you don't just repower them. You're going to have to strip out the entire drivetrain and replace it.
True. Suspension,
everything.
Yeah.
You're basically doing a restoration.
Yeah. Of a postal truck.
And that's restoration, trust me, is always more expensive than buying new.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. We'll see who gets the nod, but it is interesting. And they're going to make 50 prototypes for the NGDV, Next Generation Delivery Vehicle. And then they will try them all out. And they're also looking for proposals for commercial off-the-shelf right-hand drive vehicles. I don't know if there's many of those.
Yeah, and then ultimately, once they do start replacing them, they those will just go to the government auctions.
Hmm.
And I think a lot of people will buy them, you know, as farm vehicles and, you know, utility vehicles.
Yeah, probably. They're well used. They're well used, though. Apparently, they have many, many miles on them. Hey, we're going to talk tech when we come back after the break, because there is an interesting company that says they can make any car a self-driving car. Well, maybe not any car, certain production cars, and that is pretty cool. I would say out of all the aftermarket equipment that people make, that's got to be the most dramatic, I would say, wouldn't you?
It seems so aggressive that it's impossible.
We'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about the John Cooper's Works latest offering, the torqueous version of their performance variant. I think the last time I drove a John Cooper Works was when it was still supercharged, and I loved it, and it was fabulously noisy supercharger, and I thought it sounded cool, like a vacuum cleaner on the engine or something. I enjoy stuff like that, though. Hey, I'm a car guy. What can I say, right?
Why not? That's right.
Yeah. And then we're also going to look at Honda and VW going for land speed records in two very unique vehicles. And I think it just points to all the fun of what people do on the salt and how they'd go for these records in each class. And two very unique vehicles that I think people are going to enjoy hearing about. We're also going to tell you about Holden. Of course, Holden is the Australian component of General Motors. And if you remember, they built the G8 for a short time. And they, of course, they build the Caprice now. That's what it's called. But they're going to send off the Holden Commodore with a very, very fast version of it. We'll tell you about what they're going to put in there. And that would be fun to bring one of these to the U.S., wouldn't it, Les?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're not going to.
I still think the Holden, which became the GTO Pontiac,
mm-hmm.
is a great investment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they're great investments. And as I said, the four-door version of it, the G8, you know, that's kind of when Pontiac got it right. And as soon as they got it right, they had to basically go out of business because of all the goings-on at General Motors. So kind of sad to see that. Have a good friend that has one, and there's a real group of people that love them. So there you have it. Hey, we've got all that and more coming up when we come back on Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. Don't forget, we're on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. All there, cruisecontrolradio.com. We will be right back. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com.
Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. We are glad you are joining us for this ride. And probably, I'm guessing, Les, that our listeners like to drive. They like being behind the wheel. And, you know, we were talking earlier about Apple possibly buying McLaren, just sucking them up. You know, like a vacuum cleaner, because it's
right.
Only a mere $1 billion. And I had a thought about that during the break, because if you look at cars, McLaren is one that people want to drive. They want to be at the wheel and enjoy the sound and the experience of driving.
That's a driver's car.
So a little ironic that Apple may want to purchase them and make self-driving cars. Kind of funny, if you think of it. It's kind of ironic. But everyone, including our show, is talking about autonomous cars. And of course, we've talked a lot about Tesla and their autopilot software and the problems it's had, and then also all the development that other companies are doing. They're all trying to work into at least semi-autonomous, go into the semi-autonomous world. And, you know, the aftermarket always is interesting. They always have interesting products. And this time around, a company called Comma One wants to sell you an aftermarket self-driving system for about $1,000. They're a startup.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was shown at a trade show in San Francisco. If you're willing to pay $1,000 and pay the 24-month subscription fee to turn the vehicle into a nearly self-driving vehicle.
So it's semi-autonomous.
Semi-autonomous. And then here's the thing. Is the car a Honda or an Acura with lane assist?
Yeah, because it only works on a Honda or Acura with lane assist or self-steering, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And you've driven many vehicles with self-steering, so have I. And they're not perfect.
Mm.
They tend to sort of hunt constantly in the lane. They mm-hmm. stay in the lane for the most part.
Yeah.
But it can be a little disturbing when you're, you know, if you manage to keep looking out the front window as you should be,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, you kind of from time to time it gets real close to the white lines on either side.
Well, here's how this Comma One system works. It's about the size of a cell phone, and it has a screen on the front and two cameras on the back. The computer combines information from the device's cameras and the car's radar sensors to see what's going on around it and responds accordingly. What do you think of this, though? I have to say, the most expensive part of this must be the insurance for the company that built it.
It's got to be.
Because that's something that you could be sued for, isn't it, if it doesn't work?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I suspect there are all sorts of caveats on the thing, like don't drive this using this over such and such miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Don't drive in these conditions.
Well, the founder, George Holtz, said the system is similar in capability to autopilot. It can complete a round-trip drive without the driver having to touch anything.
Well, I mean, certainly the capability is there.
Now, do you think people will buy that to add onto their car?
I think a few techies might do that. The average person, no, because their big concern would be just what you said. Well, wait a minute. What about the liability?
Perhaps, then, this inexpensive technology is really what they want to do is sell it to the car companies, isn't it?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. So, interesting concept, though. Comma one. We'll have to keep you up to date on that and see where it goes. Really, the big component that's missing in autonomous cars, and I think Cadillac's done it, I believe Mercedes done it, but is the ability for cars to talk to each other. And everyone's trying to kind of get the cart before the horse, I think, because that technology is not out there and is not on many cars at all. And if a Cadillac can only talk to a Cadillac and a Mercedes can only talk to a Mercedes, it's not going to work too well, is it? If there's only
That's
a handful
right.
of cars with different algorithms or formats or languages. So how are people trying to do this without that technology in place?
Well, they're really not trying to do it to put it out to the general public. They're trying to do it to get to one up everybody else and show, hey, you know, we're the leaders in this.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, every single car company, as you know, has fleets of autonomous cars that the engineers are driving and sorting out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're at the international safety communities and the societies of automotive engineers have set all of this in five phases, and we're only at phase three right now, moving into phase four, which is semi-autonomous. But to get to phase five, you got to have an entirely world remapped GPS system,
right?
That is accurate to a 1 centimeter. Right now, GPS is plus or minus 18 inches.
Right, which doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're in lanes of traffic and you're trying to have cars a foot or 2 foot apart at highway speeds,
that's right.
It's important.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And the other is vehicle-to-vehicle communication, and that is going to be phased in. So this is all going to take time, and you will see these things constantly out there getting some press. We're in them at various events, but it's still going to be some time before the public can have these.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. But the next step will be things like Cadillac calls Super Cruise, and that where you can take your hands off the wheel and stop and go traffic. You still have to be there and be in the moment, but you can basically sit there and the car will start and stop and stop and go traffic and keep itself in the lane.
Yeah. And frankly, that's going to be who wouldn't want that? Who commutes to work wouldn't want that?
Exactly. You just can't be eating your egg and ham sandwich and reading a book. You have to be still in the moment. But you can certainly relax a little bit and not have to, constantly be moving the car forward 2 foot at a time. So, yes, I think that's the next step, and that we're going to see roll out pretty quickly. After that, who knows? And I'll tell you what else they have to do. I found, I don't know about you, but in New York, there's big expanses of road that have no lines on them. They just don't paint lines on them anymore, or they put little dots where they're supposed to come back and paint lines, and they just have not painted them,
that's
or they're
right.
worn off. So that would be confusing even to the current technology for cars for lane keeping and that, wouldn't it?
Well, if it can't see it, it's going to come back there and give you a warning telling you put your hands on the wheel.
Yeah. So we shall see where this all goes. But a little bit different topic is the mini John Cooper's Works edition. And this one gets a lot of torque. It's the 2017 model. It has a turbocharged four-cylinder engine, pumps out about 228 horsepower and 258 pound-feet of torque. That is the highest performance engine ever in a Mini.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, they were pretty quick at 135 horsepower.
Mm. Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back. We're also going to talk about Honda and VW taking on some land speed records with two very unique vehicles, and we're going to tell you about that Boulder, what it's got powering it. Very fast four-door car. Who said four doors are in hot rods? We will be right back, so stay tuned. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com. Feeling a little dim? Don't blame your brain or the weather. Hazy headlights may be the problem. Hazed or cloudy plastic headlights can reduce your vehicle's visibility on the road, making it very difficult to see the road and for other cars to see you. Now you can restore plastic headlight lenses to like-new clarity with the Lens Renewal Kit from 3M, an easy-to-use solution for removing the yellowing and hazing that reduces headlight performance and visibility. For more information, visit www.3mcarcare.com.
Cruise Control.
Welcome back to Cruise Control, your on-air automotive magazine. Les and Fred at the wheel. Boy, it would sure be nice to get rid of the van and get ourselves a new Mini.
Yeah, how about the 2017 JCW John Cooper Works Clubman? Yeah, they didn't. I think people were a little surprised they put this high-performance variant in the Clubman, which is sort of like their little truck with the swing-out rear doors.
Yeah, like a little station wagon-ish thing.
Yeah. Kind of interesting that they would do that, right?
Yeah, but, you know, they always seem to know what they're doing.
They do. They do. It seems like a cool version. I think this has sleeper potential written all over it. 228 horsepower, 258 pound-feet of torque, the highest performance ever for a Mini, all-wheel drive system, in 0 to 60 in 8 seconds. And it has a traction optimized launch control system. What you do with this, I think you get a model without any stripes or things on it, make it look like an everyday Clubman, and then it's a sleeper, right?
That's right.
Yeah. They also do Brembo brakes with four piston calipers up front, and it's a little bit lower than the other versions. And frankly, I think it looks pretty cool as the Clubman, doesn't it? Has utility too.
Well, that's right. It just looks kind of muscular.
Mm-hmm.
And if I did it, I would get it as a sleeper. I would do it probably in green.
Mm-hmm. No
Might
stripes.
Might even do sort of a an applique woven basket type side treatment. You know, they used to actually make Minis, the original Minis, with that kind of basket.
You mean like a rattan type?
Yeah, rattan.
Okay. Right.
Make it look like a little flower delivery vehicle.
Oh, boy. Well, it scores well in safety, too. It's got all the collision warning system, low-speed emergency braking, active cruise control, high beam assistant, road sign detection, head-up display. So it's kind of cool. I think people would scratch their heads a little bit about it, but I tell you what, I think once they drive it and have that utility, of the vehicle, I think they might like it. What do you think?
Oh, I think so. There's just a lot kind of appealing about this car.
Yeah. Could also be paired with a 6-speed manual gearbox or an 8-speed Steptronic automatic.
So it's kind of anything you want.
Exactly. I don't think we have pricing on it yet, but very, very cool vehicle. Let's just say people are going to be wanting to drive that for sure. I am sure about that. A couple of vehicles, though, they can't drive unless they're going for a land speed record, are being fielded at Bonneville. One of the first is by Honda. It is a 3-cylinder Honda that's faster than a Bugatti Veyron. It's got the engine out of a Honda S660 Roadster, which is smaller than the Miata. It's a 3-cylinder engine, and this is a streamliner they put it in. The engine puts out 63 horsepower, but you put that in the S-Dream streamliner, and it's heavily modified, and it can basically, they're shooting for 200 miles an hour, and they will break it because the car is topped out at 266 miles per hour at one point with a 3-cylinder engine. Isn't that what's cool amazing. About Bonneville?
Just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is pretty cool. But if you want something that's also cool, VW is taking on the land speed record with a very cool-looking Volkswagen. Doesn't that look cool, the Beetle? It's lowered down to the ground. It's got the moon discs, you know, the flat moon discs. I always liked that look on cars. I thought it was pretty cool. And it is specially tuned, and it broke the record for the flying mile at 205.122 miles an hour. 2-liter turbocharged engine that's been tweaked on, and it was driven by Automobile Magazine contributing editor Preston Lerner. This is one of my bucket list things. I'd like to run 200 miles an hour on the salt.
Yeah.
You get the hat and the jacket, the 200 mile an hour club.
That's right. And you become a member of the 200 mile an hour club.
That's right.
What's really cool about the, you know, I was just thinking earlier, knowing we were going to talk about this, and I was thinking, who would ever have thought back in the 60s when the original Beatles were being sold by the millions,
mm-hmm.
and they had a top speed of 76 miles an hour.
Wow.
Who would have ever thought if you had said, you know, one day a Beetle is going to break 200 miles an hour? You would have said, well, that's crazy. It can't be done.
Now, I'm assuming this thing is a stock block, but it's certainly not a stock engine, but it shows you what is left in engines, you know, they leave on the table, because the R-Line Beetle, which is the fastest one, puts out 210 horsepower. This Beetle had four times more that power, but it still sported a 2-liter turbocharged direct injection engine. So, they called it specially tuned. That's a lot of tuning, isn't it?
That's a lot of special tuning.
That's a lot of fuel and air going through there, isn't it?
Well, it is. Also, I mean, I'm just curious how they figured out how to keep it on the ground.
I just think it looks cool lowered down like that, don't
well,
you?
Well, it has to be lowered. That thing is a big wing.
So, very, very cool. And I bet that was fun to drive. And the driver, of course, who was a journalist, was talking about going faster, but that's all the salt could handle. It does have, on the detail on the engine, it does have new turbochargers, pistons, camshafts, connecting rods, and head modifications. And it could, at the flywheel, be making 600 horsepower. Wow. Man, that thing must sing when it's on the road, when it's on the salt.
That's amazing.
So, this is an interesting thing here. It kind of gets under my skin a little bit, because I don't think people should be rewarded for doing what they should do normally, you know, like the certain towns that pay kids to go to school.
Right.
You know, reward. But a company called Comida, a coffee company in Japan, will give you free coffee if you don't use your cell phone. If you install their app and it determines you're not using your cell phone as you drive along the highway. If you hit 100 kilometers, you get a free coffee, and you get another cup every 200 kilometers you drive without using your phone. What do you think of that?
Well, I would get free coffee all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, so would you. We don't use our phones while we're driving.
I know, but maybe you'd want to be driving this, the Holden Commodore, the HSV model. According Commodore and Holden, they're going away, but they may build one with the engine out of the ZR1, the LS9 engine. Wouldn't that be fun?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bring that here. I don't know. I think that would be a fun vehicle to drive. And, of course, there's some talk that someone may come in at White Knight and save Holden because all auto manufacturing is going bye-bye in Australia. So we'll have to see what happens with that. Hey, we appreciate you listening to Cruise Control Radio. Don't forget, we're on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. Time for me to say I'm Fred Staub.
I'm Les Jackson.
We're going to see you down the road. Cruise Control Radio is your on-air automotive magazine. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com for more information.